Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. One of my favorite tunes from junior high school, Frankie Lyman, Why Do Fools Fall in Love. Now, there's no relationship between that song and what I'm about to play, which is Ann Romney cutting off Mitt Romney on a CBS News interview with someone named Jan Crawford. Listen.
The president's going on a bus tour. He's got no new answers. All he's saying is, let's go government some more.
Well, I feel like all he's doing is saying, let's kill this guy. Well, and I feel like that's not really a very good campaign policy.
I'm sorry, but I have to ask this question. Is Ann Romney doing more harm than good? Frankly, Mitt Romney is coming across as a weakling and a wimp. We all know that. I've said it for a long time. Murdoch came out and said it this week. He said that he seems to play everything safe. He lacks stomach. He lacks heart. He's not nearly as tough as he needs to be in Obama. I said the same thing now for months. Murdoch came out and said the same thing. I'm not the only one. But once Murdoch said it, suddenly the middle of the roaders were able to say the same thing, which is fine. They have to follow the leaders. I understand that. The question that I have to raise now, which is about Ann Romney. I don't think she's doing him any favors by cutting him off in the middle of an interview with a liberal hack. I'm sorry. And I have to ask you, is Ann Romney doing more harm than good? She's not running for office. I don't want to hear a man who's already seen as weak being cut off by his wife in the middle of an interview. And so, therefore, we have a problem. Ann Romney cuts off Mitt Romney. First of all, Romney's only going before softball interviews or liberal interviews. He won't come near a conservative. He hates conservatives. We know that. I told you I will vote for him because I'll pick a big businessman over a big government man. Let me make it very clear in case you missed it. If I have to make a choice between a big business candidate and a big government candidate, I'll pick big business for obvious reasons. Nevertheless, there's something wrong with this picture. He's wimpy. He looks wimpy, sounds wimpy, talks wimpy, walks wimpy. And now the wife cuts him off in the middle of a lib interview. Cuts him right off. Texas, CJ, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Michael, all due respect to you, brother, and your intelligence, but Ann is doing the wife's job. She has the right to interrupt him, and she is with him on his side and taking up for him. And that's the way it is, no matter what anybody says, you or me. She's got the right to do it, and this, I respect her for doing it, and the women are loving it. God bless you, brother.
Well, I don't know about brother. I don't know about God bless me. But that's a heck of a mouthful. If I felt you were right, I wouldn't have even raised the question because I think that she's making a mistake here by being too out there and too aggressive. I want him to be aggressive. Okay? I want him to be aggressive. Brad Pitt's mother pens an anti-Obama letter to the local newspaper. Oh, my God, is he in trouble. God bless Brad Pitt's mother. Had I only known. I always liked Brad Pitt as an actor. Of course, I knew he had to play the game with Katzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg in order to continue working in Hollywood. Because as you all know, if Katzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg and the other Bergs don't like you, you don't work in that town. Well, now it turns out that Brad Pitt's mother, Jane, calls the president a liberal who supports the killing of unborn babies and same-sex marriage just after her son, Brad, revealed his support of Obama. And so that's a good story. It's a tremendous story. She attacked Obama because she's an American who has the right to do so. We're now talking about Brad Pitt's mother. And she goes on to write in the newspaper, listen to this. She says she's a Christian who differs with the Mormon religion, but she says any Christian should spend much time in prayer before refusing to vote for a family man with high morals, business experience, who is against abortion and shares Christian conviction concerning homosexuality just because he is a Mormon, close quote. This is Jane Pitt. She goes on to say that, quote, any Christian who does not vote or writes in the name is casting a vote for Romney's opponent, Barack Hussein Obama, a man who sat in Jeremiah Wright's church for years, did not hold a public ceremony to mark the National Day of Prayer, and is a liberal who supports the killing of unborn babies and same-sex marriage, close quote. So that's it. I guess Brad Pitt's going to hear it from Katzenberg, and Spielberg. He may not work in that town again. He's a fabulous actor, at least he used to be. But nevertheless, his mother certainly has expressed herself. New York, Susan, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I wish you would please kindly stop putting Romney down. I have people calling me and speaking to me and say, well, you know, I think I'm going to vote for Obama anyway, because it seems like Romney is not really that great.
Yeah, well, so that's what I'm saying. Romney needs to stand up and make a case for himself, and he's not doing it. That's a, so your friends are actually the reason I'm criticizing Romney. I'm not attacking him. I'm criticizing him. I'm trying to move the guy out of the perimeter of the ring and telling him to get in the middle and start throwing punches.
I understand that, but people get confused.
Wait a minute. Let's start again. The friends who are calling you and say they're going to vote for Obama, you mean they're listeners to my show?
No.
So what do I care what they think? They're communists anyway, so what's the difference? Who do you think they're going to vote for?
Not all, some of them. Not all, but some of them.
They're stupid, brainwashed liberals from New York who don't have any idea what they're doing, what they're saying, who they're voting for, and what they're creating. They have no idea who the Frankenstein is in the White House. You're never going to change their mind. Their minds have been made up a long time. So I am trying to motivate Romney to get out of the perimeter of the ring and start throwing punches in the center of the ring. Obama's beating him up.
I do.
Thanks for the call. Okay, I can't repeat myself over and over again. I think that Ann Romney should step back from the front lines. I think it makes her husband look weak. That's number two. I think, look, let me explain it to you in the parlance of a boxing match. Even though most of you are not fight fans, you've seen fights, you know what we're talking about. Let's say this is a 15-round heavyweight championship bout between Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, right? Usually when fighters come out at that level, the opening rounds, what they do is feel each other out. They don't come screaming at each other, because if they do, they burn themselves out in the early rounds. Now, there are many tactics. I'm not a fight expert, but I've watched enough to tell you that one of the tactics is to let your opponent box himself out. You let the other guy throw the flurries at you. You take the blows. You fend them off. And then you come back at him in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, and you beat him up. And you hope he's worn out by then, and then you knock him out. So Romney's strategy is apparently to let Obama pummel him with these jabs, whatever he's throwing at him, and then he's going to come at him, I don't know when, whatever the month is that his fool advisors have told him to come back and to start hitting. I don't know what the month is. Maybe December after the election. Maybe McCain's advisor will tell him, now it's time to fight Mitt, get in there and fight after the election's over. What are they waiting for? So anyway, he's on the perimeter. So the other strategy is to let the other guy throw the punches and you wear him down by letting him punch himself out, in essence. Meanwhile, you're taking blows, which are costing you energy and costing you stamina, right? So it's a trade-off. What Romney is doing is dancing around the edge of the ring with his back near the ropes. He's dancing. He's doing footwork. That's a boxing strategy. Obama, on the other hand, has been punching him from before the fight began. So the minute the bell went off, meaning Romney was the putative candidate, which apparently is so, Obama has been relentless using the attacks created by Newt Gingrich, the fat slob, and the evil fool from Pennsylvania, whose name we all forgot the day after he stopped wearing his sweater on his sleeve. And the fact of the matter is, Obama's winning because Obama's fighting. Romney's losing because no one knows who Romney is, nor what he stands for, because he refuses to come out from the perimeter of the ring and start to fight back and to explain to the people who he is. That's number one. Next, the thing with Ann, I'm sorry, I know you're not supposed to say a word, but look, I have said things about Mr. Bush's wife, Laura. I thought she was making mistakes along the way, She's a public figure. I did it in a classy way. I didn't attack her on a guttural level. I didn't make it personal. I thought she was very much like a Stepford wife. I thought that she was a little too much like a Stepford wife, and I said so during the Bush years. You know that. Then Mrs. Obama, as you well know, is a hypocrite through and through, says one thing about eating organic vegetables and is seen knocking off the fries and the ribs. So I called her the Lord of the Fries. I thought that was very funny. I thought that was clever. I thought that was humorous. So now it comes down to Mitt Romney and Ann Romney. She's in the public arena. She's a little too prominent, and she's stepping on her husband, and I don't think it's smart. What do you think? Do you think I am right? I will play it for you again. Here it is in clip 5. You decide.
The president's going on a bus tour. He's got no new answers. All he's saying is, let's go government some more.
Well, I feel like all he's doing is saying, let's kill this guy. I feel like that's not really a very good campaign policy.
Well, I don't think that a wife stepping on a candidate's words is a very good campaign policy. If you, the listener of the Savage Nation, care to comment on what I'm saying, the phone number, you know what it is. We got one open line. It's 1-800-449-8255. There are two other topics. The second topic is Jane Pitt, Brad Pitt's mother, calling the president a liberal who supports the killing of unborn babies and same-sex marriage. That's a few months after Brad Pitt revealed his support of Obama in Hollywood magazines, because that's what you have to do in order to appease the gods of Hollywood, Katzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg. But now, I mean, I don't have a question on Jane Pitt other than, boy, she has guts and good for her. But the question is, will Brad Pitt ever be in a major movie again? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Are we live or what? I'm live. It's Friday. I'm live. Thank God I'm living. Each day now, I look at my tomato plants growing. I look at the grass. I look at the bay and the birds, the wind. Gotta stop complaining, man. It's beautiful out there. God created a perfect world. We ruined it. God created this earth, the only heaven. Enjoy it. Breathe it in. Little by little, it's being poisoned by big government. And by those who claim they're giving us freedom when they're giving us slavery. So breathe it all in. Enjoy it. Enjoy it all. So here we are. I'm raising an important question for one reason. I'm trying to motivate Romney to get off the edge of the ring and start fighting now. It's already the fifth round. He can't dance on the edges anymore. It's not round one where they're touching gloves already. Just getting their range. He's got the range already. Now open up. Give him a blow. Okay? Let go. Show them what you can do. Show the people you can fight. Because if you can't fight this Marxist phony, how are you going to fight the Islamists who want to eat our breakfast? That's what we're saying. If you're not capable of fighting this fraud, Obama, and his corrupt criminal machine, how are you going to fight the corrupt world, Mitt? That's what we're saying. It's as simple as that. Pittsburgh, PA, Dan, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, how you doing? Hey, that analogy regarding the fight game is unbelievable. It's great. The only thing you know is if you stand toe-to-toe with a guy in the middle of the ring, there's always a chance you could get caught. I think Romney approaches it the way he is, like as a counterpuncher. Like, for example, back when Obama, he said something in regards to immigration reform, when he said if you were brought to this country against your will, Romney could have come out and he could have stood up against that, but I think he made a great move. He countered that by saying something that you know, he was almost like baited by, you know, sometimes a fighter will drop his left hand anticipating,
yes,
almost like inviting a boxer to throw that,
yes,
right hand over to the top. Meanwhile, he'll slip underneath that and throw a hard hook to the body.
Yes, yes. Well, look, I understand you're an ex-fight trainer, so at least my analogy has got people thinking about the fact that we are watching a battle. This is the arena. So let me ask you, as a fight trainer, do you think that Romney's strategy, his fighting strategy, is correct?
I think it's correct. But for example, this whole thing with this walking these guns, you know, that type of thing. It's almost like I feel like, again, like Obama's baiting people. It's like everybody's up in arms about this, and then it's going to come out where he's not guilty of anything, but it's going to look like everybody made such a big stink about him. It's almost like he's inviting everybody.
All right, so he's playing the birth certificate game, waiting for the last minute to say, here's the emails that you wanted from Holder, and you see I have nothing to do with them. But they shredded them by then. I mean, those shredders are running around the clock. What you're saying is no matter what we say or do, Obama's going to hide his involvement in Fast and Furious. So Romney is staying away from that one. So what – let me ask you something. What is Romney doing? Romney's fighting him on one issue only, which is jobs. Jobs, 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 jobs. It's a monotone. It's not the only issue in the world. Sure, it's important. Yes, it's a big one, but it's not the only one. As I wrote in Trickle Down Tyranny, once a country loses its honor, it can never be regained. What about our nation? What about borders, language, and culture? What about the heart of the nation? What about the spirit of the nation? Why is there no discussion of this?
It's like when you watch a good fight and you see a fighter bait a guy in and he throws and he slips and then he doesn't take advantage. And it's like it's so frustrating, and that's the way I see Romney. I see Romney as like he's playing the game and he's being conservative. He's not rushing in. He's not wasting punches. He's not wasting his energy, but he's not taking advantage. He's not throwing those punches. You know?
Okay, So what you're saying is he's a cautious counterpuncher, but even when Obama slips up, he doesn't strike.
Yeah. It's like he's too cautious. He's too, you know, he doesn't get started. He doesn't take advantage of the mistakes. Or even still, he's got to do some things that have got to bait Obama.
Yeah. Now you're talking. He cannot constantly play a defensive fight game. He's got to go on the attack and make Obama start defending himself.
Absolutely. But what he doesn't want to do is go in there and just go blow a blow. Because you know as well as I do, Obama and his people, they're slick. Very slick.
They're very smart, and they're very deadly. So let's go to question number two. Is Ann Romney doing the right thing by interrupting Mitt Romney during a CBS interview?
I don't know. You know, the women of the world probably love the fact that he gives his wife, like, an even platform. But, you know, guys like you and me are like, hey, you know what? Hey, you got your place. Keep your mouth shut. I'm handling this thing. I got it.
I wouldn't say you got your place. I put my hand up and say, wait a minute. I'd say, Ann, wait a minute. Let me finish this. I do it with a smile. I can never imagine Mrs. Reagan, Nancy Reagan, ever doing that to Ronald Reagan. Never. Never. I'm sorry. It was wrong. Hey, thanks for that call, Mr. Fight Trainer. I'll be right back to take your calls right here on Open Mic Friday.
Savage.
Little Bump and Grind on the Savage Nation. For those of you over the age of 13, remember these songs. No one dances this way anymore, so they don't make this kind of music. This was the age of the finished basement when the parents weren't home. That's when boys dated girls and girls dated boys and they got married and had babies. You know, traditional, old-fashioned throwback people. The way it's been done since the beginning of time, you know, but not the modern Obama way. Not the modern way, you know. That's a very sweet song. Truthfully, even I could get emotionally moved over, but I won't. The day I get into the maudlin thing, just hang it up, you know what I mean? Send the guys with the butterfly nets. You know, I have never lost control of the show in 18 years on the radio. Isn't that amazing? And I'm a very emotional person. Ask people who know me. I guess I've gotten immune to it. I've gotten harder as the years have gone on. But I've come close, real close. Once or twice in 18 years, I almost had to stop the show or take a break. I haven't done it. It's just an amazing thing. It's a heck of a ride, I'll tell you. What a show. It's like a Broadway show that's run for 18 years. You know, five nights a week, 18 years. Some good, some bad, some great, some wonderful, some phenomenal, some unforgettable. That's what radio is. Some days I'm better than others. Some days I'm not as good as others. Some days I'm strong. Some days I'm not strong. But I'm always here for you. I take a vacation now and again. I'm sick once in a while. I've had dental surgery and still gone on the air and did the best I could. Since it all sounds like it's in the past, all of it, doesn't it? But as I said to you, the best is yet to come. I mean, I've got some future things happening and plans. You've never seen anything yet. Everyone in radio is, oh, it's a bad business, it's bad, and business is going, oh, blah, 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 radio's going, oh, the internet, blah, blah, blah. They have no idea what's coming. The media, by the way, is not going away, right? And I intend to be part of what's emerging in the media. I intend to be one of the dominant figures in media for as long as God gives me the ability to, you know, put it all together and say it. believe me, this is just the beginning. I feel like this is the beginning of something brand new for me. That's how I feel. I feel more positive than when I first started in radio. So I cannot disclose what I'm working on, but believe me, you're going to love it. That's a side note, in addition to talking about everything. Because it's Friday, you know, we can do other things. I don't need to sit here all day long and talk about Ann Romney interrupting Mitt Romney, how I think it's wrong, or that Romney ought to get out of the edge of the ring and start throwing some, you know, a little heavyweight blows there. Because, look, here's my fundamental point, if you missed it. I know Mitt Romney's a good man. I know he's a nice man. I know he's a decent man. I know he's an honest man. But that may be, not be enough to be president of the United States. He is fighting a vicious, left-wing fanatic regime, and we need someone tougher than this to take on this vicious left-wing fanatic machine. And if Romney doesn't have the guts for him, how is he going to have the guts for the evildoers in the Middle East and the evildoers who are trading us into eternity? The evildoers who are dumping garbage products on our shore because they have a Congress that they bought like a bunch of prostitutes who won't impose tariffs on them, which I've been calling for since trickle-up poverty. We need a 20% tariff on everything that comes from China. And then you'll see manufacturing come back to this country. It's unheard of. If you knew the first thing about business, you'll understand every country has tariffs except us. Because we're the dumbest nation on earth. No, not that we're dumb. We have the most corrupt politicians of any nation in the Western world. They can be bought and sold for any amount of money you want. And they'll do whatever the buyers want them to do. So if I say put in tariffs in order to get manufacturing going in this country again, and then Trump says the same thing, and others who know business say the same thing, and then we hear from the Wall Street Journal and the Business Roundtable and the this one, oh, no, no, we believe in free trade. We believe in no tariffs. They're just paid lobbyists for China. Yes, they're saying it because they're being paid by China to say it. The only thing that can rebuild manufacturing here is to make foreign goods meet the cost of domestically made goods. Every country on earth that wants to survive and introduces tariffs. So why doesn't Romney talk about tariffs? Why is he not saying a word about it? The guy's in Ohio, the Rust Belt. This is what he should be talking about. Not be seen on a water ski July 4th. Ugh, whatever. Let's play a little rock. Let's have an open mic to Mike Friday with... Okay, yeah, I ate a little too much before the show. Japanese today. Nasty to me, the Japanese guy. Felt like I was in a World War II movie on the wrong side. Felt like I was like on the wrong island, you know what I mean, before 1943. The guy knows me, make believe he didn't know me. It was awful, I got indigestion from it. Each night I love when you eat in a place for 10 years and they make believe you don't know you. Don't you love that?
Why must I
10 years, I get takeout, I eat there. He doesn't know me, still doesn't know me. I parked the car 3 feet from his front desk outside the glass window in Mill Valley, California. Every time I come in, he makes believe I'm a stranger. At least I avoided the Indian death. All right, it's enough already. A teenager in love. No, I'm not. How about Little Star the Elegance? Let me hear Little Star remind me of the Belt Parkway. Let me hear that. Little Star, Little Star, Little Star.
Come on. Little Star.
I love this song. Come on, it's Friday. Give him a break. It can only take so much Obama. So glad I never became an actor. God, what a mistake I would have made. Imagine if I become an actor, what I'd be today. God, get out away from me. There's a bee in the room here. I mean, I love acting. Don't get me wrong. I love acting. I love good actors. I love to watch them. I could never do it. I don't think it's a great life after a certain age. I don't really think so. I really don't know. You don't really get to use your mind. I mean, you're basically repeating what other people tell you to read. All right, it's enough. I'm going on about acting now because I'm tired of Ann Romney. You want to clean up on the Romney thing and then we'll go on to acting as a profession? You know why I never became an actor? Let me get it out of my system. I told this once or twice. I remember in high school, Jamaica High School, I once tried to be an actor. And I had to read a part where I drank tea on the stage, but there was no tea in the cup. It struck me as so false to make believe I was drinking tea in a cup on a stage when there was no tea. See, I'm too much of an absolutist and a realist to have ever been an actor. That says it all. It's why I love talk radio, because to me, this is real. This is as real as a skid mark on a highway when you try to avoid hitting a deer on a dark night. And the next day you look and there's the skid mark. You know what I'm saying? That's what talk radio is. It's got to be like skid marks on a highway. If you're not leaving skid marks in the people's minds, you're not doing talk radio. You know what you're doing? Fluff. And if you're running a campaign and you don't leave any skid marks in their brain, you're not running a campaign. No one knows who you are. So that's what comes, you know, all the roads lead back to Romney. He better get his message together, and he better lay down some rubber. That's all I can tell you, Johnson. And that's it, and that's all. And let's go on to another song here. Let me pick another song, guys. You're going to pick one I won't like, and I need to get motivated by the songs I pick. Yesterday, I drank an energy drink before the show. I drank a Rockstar. The best hour of my entire car. I everything was sharp, focused. The show was better than I've done in 10 years. I could not believe it. And I was able to sleep. That's the beauty of it. Today, I'm drinking tea. That's why I brought up the tea thing. Tea. It's like an old drink. But tea is very interesting, black tea. I love it. No matter what's wrong with me, if I drink tea, I feel better. I don't care what it is. Headache, stomach ache, heartache. I drink tea. I feel better. It's astounding. I don't know what the tannic acid kills the bacteria, whatever. It couples the bacteria and kills it. It kills it by coupling the DNA. How about something exciting here on this Savage Nation on the show by calling 1-800-449-8255? Here's a nice one. In the Still of the Night by the official song of the Cardiologists Union, the Five Statins in the Still of the Night. Let's hear that one. Should have been right that second. Now, that's too late. If you can't hit the button right that second, the joke is over. That's too late. I'm sorry. You can't read my mind. You can't read my mind. If I say something like that and then you go to it, boom, it's a good, then it's a funny thing. But if you wait 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 because you're looking, not funny. It's all timing. Radio's all about timing. So I'll give, I know you can't see me because I'm in one place and you're thousands of miles away. I do an amazing show. I'm alone in a house or alone in a room or alone in the, you think I'm in a studio somewhere like high above. Here I am, Michael Savage, high above the city, looking down upon the world from WOR New York. There are the millions of people down below me like ants, and my powerful voice is booming out across the scape of New York City and across America. The taxi cabs are blaring my voice in the heat wave, blah, blah, blah. Actually, I am sitting in a place in San Francisco with my dog, about 10 feet from the seagulls and from fish and seals. So I don't know whether that's better or worse for radio, but I mean, you know, I thought about that before the show, whether to tell you that. I've told you I work out of 5 or 6 different home studios, by and large, right? And I've come to ask myself, is it better or worse that I do this? And I believe one of the reasons this show connects with the listener is that it has a sense of authenticity that lacks from a person who does a show out of a legitimate radio station, in that when you're in a radio station, it's a different mindset and you're conforming to the idea of being an announcer. And then you're concerned about the walls have ears in a radio station. And then you start to think like someone in the media when you're in a radio station. I did it for years. Of course, it didn't inhibit me anyway. I was in the radio station and still functioned as though I was in my own living room wearing pajamas, because that's the way it is. I give it to you the way it is. But by and large, if you work out of a home studio or an isolated private studio, what you're doing is sharing one man's opinion with the world. And they actually hear you. I mean, they hear you say, hey, that guy sounds like he's talking to me. I'm listening to him on a radio in a car. He feels like he's right here. He's reaching out and pulling me into the speaker. Who is that guy? Why, he's the masked broadcaster. Why, that's Michael Savage. So that's what it comes down to. It's like that. Everyone's still on vacation. I can't believe it. Publisher. No one's around. Everyone took the week off. God bless them. Am I the only person left working on the planet, I ask myself? The roads are empty. Everything's empty. Where is everybody? You walk around San Francisco, which I do sometimes after a show. When I'm in there, the restaurants are jammed. There they are. They're eating oysters and drinking vodka. Everyone with the martini glass and the bottle of wine and the eating and feasting. Where's the recession, I ask myself? It must be limited to certain areas of America that I never see. I never saw anything like. Where is the recession hitting now? It's certainly not in San Francisco. The restaurants are packed. The economy seems to be booming by the restaurant business. It's true some of the stores are brown papered over in the Embarcadero area. You know, I judge things by the how many stores have brown paper on them. The day I see brown paper over the federal government,
then I'll know that we're on the road to recovery. The day they run brown paper down around 30% of all the departments, and I see that there's a recession at the federal government, I know we're on the way to recovery. The day they eliminate 30% of all the federal departments, how is it that a small number of people get to rule 300 million of us? How does that work? Is it somewhere in the Constitution where it says that a small number of people, like 400 in Congress, and I don't know how many are in the federal government now, will rule over everybody else? Is that somewhere in the U.S. Constitution that I miss when I read it? I don't see it read somewhere that an elite will rule everybody. I think it said government should be limited. Is that what I read somewhere? It's strictly limited so that the people don't wind up facing a dictatorship of the bureaucrat. And then you wake up and here we are facing a dictatorship of the bureaucrat. Here we are, we're facing a dictatorship of a power-mad narcissist, a communist at that. And I don't care whether you call it communist, Marxist, socialist, Leninist, it doesn't matter. That's what he is. And that's what every bureaucrat that speaks for him is. Communist, socialist, Marxist, does not matter how you define them. That's who they are. You want to call them statist? Call them statist. They think that they have the right to rule over us, not to take our desires and to enact them. That, my friends, is a dictatorship. And it is an early dictatorship, but it's not the end of the dictatorship. It's the beginning of this dictatorship. And the day that Mitt Romney gives you a speech that I just, like I just gave, is the day Mitt Romney will soar by 20 points, and you know it, because you want him to stand up to this guy, because you know you need him to stand up to this guy, because you know no one's standing up to this guy. He just defeated everybody by buying Roberts out with some kind of trickery, and everybody in the media saw it the wrong way. I was the only one who said it like it is in the major media. Everyone sat there dumbfounded, flummoxed, heartbroken, and then the idiots, like this guy, Lenny Demi Krauthammer on Fox News, a guy I've always found to be a fraud, he had the nerve to come out and say that Roberts was a genius. He did the right thing. He enabled and nobled, and the conservatives are going to come out now and vote. Now, all of a sudden, Lenny Demi Krauthammer come around and said that, the Supreme Court Justice Roberts was intimidated by the left. He suddenly changed his tune because he realized that he gave himself away by cheering for this socialist ruling by Roberts. Suddenly the cat was out of the bag, and everyone saw that his act was a fraud, that he was a Democrat, has been a Democrat, is a Democrat, works on Fox because he's a Democrat, and particularly for O'Shaughnessy there, whatever his name is, O'Blarneystone, Bill O'Blarneystone has him on all the time to support his communist left-wing opinions and try to peddle him as a conservative. How much can you take of these people until you wake up to the fact that half the people in the media who are telling you they're one thing or another? One thing I got to give the liberals, they sure are what they say they are, and they're not really hidden conservatives. Let me be very clear about it. Not one of the liberals on MSNBC is secretly a conservative. Not one of them. Teddy just nodded. That's right, Dad. Go tell him. Yeah, I got to hand it to them. Not one of the hosts on MSNBC believes in America. I got to hand it to them. Not one of them believes in individual liberty. I got to hand it to them. They're consistent in their belief system. Yeah. I wish I could say the same thing for half the commentators who pose as conservatives, Teddy. I got to tell you. But you look at the other side. They have guys on who are naked, open communists who say to you that, I mean, the guy writes for The Nation, that guy with the cockamamie, crazy, schizophrenic eyes. He's at a magazine called The Nation, which is a Marxist magazine, okay? For 30 years, Marxist magazine, The Nation. So they get the guy on with the skitsy eyes, the rotating eyes at MSNBC. I got to hand it to him. At least he's a consistent Marxist on MSNBC. But he's not a secret conservative. He holds no conservative beliefs. Doesn't hold any beliefs in America. No, sir. Believes in worldwide communism, socialism, statism, whatever you want to call it. Got to hand it to the left. They're consistent in their beliefs. None of them are secretly conservative. On the other side, though, half of them are secretly liberals. I'll be back.
Savage.
Make this song today. It is Rock and Roll Friday in the Savage Nation. It's open mic to Mike at 1-800-449-8255. Whatever's bothering you or any advice, recommendations, I'll give you an answer to anything you want to know, politics or otherwise. It's Friday. Let it go.
So as I say, you have to forgive me during the last, before the last break, I had a little indigestion from the Japanese lunch I had. Because I went into this place. I've eaten there at least 10 years, not every day, off and on, you know. But the guy makes believe he doesn't know me. It was so bad today, so I got indigestion. The guy, like, gave me the hate eyes over nothing. I felt like I was in the bridge over the River Kwai. So by the time the sushi finally came and the salmon, I took it out. I didn't even want to eat it in there. It was awful. I don't know what this guy's problem is. I mean, I'm a good tipper, but it makes you never want to go back. And I get along with Japanese people. I've been to Japan several times. I love Japan. I love the Japanese people. Phenomenal culture. This is a very specific individual with a problem, and I don't understand it. Definitely felt like I was going to build that bridge, I got to tell you. Kathy in San Antonio, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I believe that Ann Romney, on one hand, I think what she did was extremely rude. But on the other hand, I think she's absolutely had it with her wimpy husband. And I think
here's the problem. She's not running for office. And the more she steps up to the plate and looks tough, it makes him look weaker.
Yeah, she doesn't see that, though. And it's possible.
You see, if let's say I went to a business meeting with Mrs. S, and it's about me, right? And she's there because she's smart, right? It's not her place to step on my words, nor would she ever do that. So apparently, inside the Romney home, he's never told her that. He's never sat down and said, look, Ann, I love you. I love you with my life, but look, when I'm giving an interview, no matter what, don't step over my words. It doesn't look good.
No.
I think he's never said that to her. Don't you agree?
I agree with that, but he's going to say it now.
Well, I don't think they hear a word I say. They only listen to MSNBC and CBS. Apparently, the Romney family never hears talk radio. They see no conservatives. They hear no conservatives. They speak no conservatives. Whatever liberals say, do, want, and breathe, that's what gets across to the Romney boys and the Romney family. It's a very big family. You'd think one of them listened to Michael Savage at least once since Daddy had dinner with me once, right?
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. A little throwback music here. What is this? All right, whatever. So what's in the news? Well, what's in the news is good, it's bad, it's whatever, your side you're on, whatever. Economy is stalling, dismal jobs, minorities take the biggest hit, private sector down, and Obama's doing great. Why? Because Romney's flummox, doesn't know what to say. George Zimmerman leaves jail on $1 million bond. They can't wait to see him crucified for defending himself, but they had to give him bail. You know what I love? Is all the liberals were screaming, how dare they give the man bail? All of the minorities and all of the ACLUers who are always in favor of bail for mass murderers, rapists, terrorists. Suddenly Zimmerman got bail. They were going crazy. How dare the judge give him bail? I'm shocked that they're letting him out of jail. He's a danger to himself and to others. Bush and wife Laura in Zambia promoting cancer initiative. Oh, it's like a safe place to be during a campaign. I love these headlines. Seven arrested in British anti-terrorism raid. Seven men. Seven Hasidic rabbis, seven nuns, seven flying Catholic nuns. No,
Seven men. The word Muslim is not allowed. Islam is not allowed to be tied to terrorism anymore. Nancy Reagan turns 91, gets Disney serenade. What else is in the news? Well, everything, yeah. Brad Pitt's mom blasts Obama, urges vote for Romney. She did the right thing. Of course, you know what's going to happen once Spielberg, Hielberg, Katzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Hatzenberg come back from Malta, wherever they are with Judge Roberts. My guess is Judge Roberts is on the island of Malta, but someone's yacht, someone's 300-foot yacht from Hollywood will be picking him up in Malta to give him a celebratory ride for having done the right thing for worldwide socialism. So here we are. Yeah, it's the best of times, worst of times. What else is in the news? Top Syrian general's defection encourages anti-Assad coalition. I'm supposed to cheer now that the Islamists are going to take over Syria. It's not bad enough they've taken over Libya through Egypt. Now I should cheer that they knock out Assad, who's a murderous, horrendous dictator. But you haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet when the Islamists gain control of the entire Arab world. Wait. Wait until you see what your friends in the Obama administration achieve. What else? Pinocchio's getting away with it because Romney... The thing we were talking about in the last hour was Romney spoke and got cut off by his wife on a 60 Minutes interview. He will not go anywhere near a conservative. Anyone who speaks conservatism, he doesn't want to know. But if you're a liberal, oh, he runs to you. So he goes on a CBS show in clip 5, and his wife cuts him off. Listen.
The president's going on a bus tour. He's got no new answers. All he's saying is, let's go government some more.
I feel like all he's doing is saying, let's kill this guy. I feel like that's not really a very good campaign policy.
So we've been arguing over my statement, which is meant as a criticism, not as an attack on Romney, which is your wife is not making you look good. And I've asked, is Ann Romney doing more harm than good? And I think it's a very fair question. I think I believe she's taking too prominent a role. Every time she gets tough, he looks weaker when he's already seen as a wimp and as a milquetoast. And the last thing he needs now is a wife stepping on his words. That's how I see it. I'm sorry. I think she's a smart woman. There's no question in my mind that today a marriage the partnership of marriage means that there's no such thing as a man alone or a woman alone. It's a partnership. However, the partnership's not running for office. You'll notice who has disappeared into the background. You'll notice that the communist in chief's wife, Michelle, the controversial Michelle, is not even giving vegetable cooking advice. Have you noticed that as smart as she is, as blunt as she is, as outspoken as she is, have you noticed that Obama's brain has told her to sort of step away from the spotlight? Your husband's running, not you. You're not really that loved, number one. No matter what the people in the media may put out, Michelle Obama is not loved that much, by the way. The majority of American people are offended by many of her comments, which they've never forgotten, which I don't have to remind you of. So she's smart enough, and so is the team, to keep her in the background. I can never imagine Barack Obama and Michelle Obama giving an interview, let us say on Fox News, right? And in the middle of it, Obama's a little meek in what he's saying, and she would step on his words and say, what he means is this, and he would dummy up. I don't think that would happen. They got their act together. So look, this is serious business here, because you know what's at stake. I don't have to repeat it again. 1-800-449-8255. Is Mrs. Romney doing more harm than good? Or if you'd like some open mic to my questions, lifestyle questions, how to raise pigeons. Well, don't call me on that. I never raise pigeons. I've avoided birds all my life because of psittacosis and other related issue. Let's take the callers on the show because I think people got some great calls here. Let's begin in Austin, Texas, the land of the psychosis. If you have to say there's liberal psychosis in Texas, it's limited to Austin, Texas. Bill, welcome to the program.
Dr. Savage, last half hour you were talking about how you can broadcast with your ISDN lines from just about anywhere now, and that you have Teddy with you all the time. And myself, I'm an old broadcaster, too, and I have a little dog called a Brussels Griffon. Don't know if you've ever heard of that one or not.
No, they're lovely. So what's the question?
But what happens is, when it goes to the window, it barks all the time. And with Teddy, I never hear any barking. How did you train him to be so quiet?
He's an amazing dog. Think of the RCA Victor dog that when he hears the master's voice, this dog is 8 years old. He's been with me from day one. He lays either under the desk or on the couch and watches me. Where is he now? Teddy, I don't even know where he is. I don't see him now. I'm a little worried. But he's extremely cognizant of the breaks. He knows when the breaks are coming. He knows when the when he hears the music go on, he gets, you know, in his place. He knows not to interrupt. I don't know. He just knows it's broadcast time. I don't know. I never trained him. He kind of gets it.
Does he have any windows that he can see out of? Or?
Oh, yeah. It's all glass here. I'm looking right out onto San Francisco Bay, and the other side there's doors. Of course, if someone came to the door and knocked, he'd go crazy. But it's so isolated here, no one ever comes here.
Well,
it's not even on the map where I am. No, he's a great dog. Thanks for the call. Where is he? Teddy. Ted, they're asking for you. Teddy, you're on. Come and say something. Sacramento Rick, you're on the Savage Nation. Rick. You're on the Savage Nation. Gone. Rick, are you there? He's gone. He took a walk. Okay. They put him back in his cell. James on line six, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I've got a question for you. I need your help. I've never, ever wanted to raise a child in a split household, but it's come to that. The mom and I didn't know each other that well when she got pregnant. We tried to stick it out. We made it through the pregnancy in the first 6 months. The baby's now one, and we can't get along. We've broken up. And now I've got this baby boy who I want to raise into a good man, but I'm only going to have him half the time. And I'm concerned about how to do that. I need some advice on how to raise a child in a split household, because I wasn't raised in one.
It's a tough question for me for several reasons. One, because I have no experience with this problem. Two, because simply by asking the question, you indicate that you don't trust the woman you had the baby with and you're afraid she's going to associate with men that you don't like. Is that basically what you're saying?
Yeah, not so much. I won't have any control over the men with whom she associates. But, for example, I refuse to fight. She brought a six-year-old into the relationship from a former previous relationship, and I refuse to ever fight in front of the children. But she'll take that opportunity, that knowing that I won't fight back, which I'm afraid makes me look weak in front of the kids. It'll make me look weak in front of the kids because I'm backing down because I won't fight in front of them.
Well, no, I think you're doing the right thing, because children get very upset when they see parents fight. Not all of us can control ourselves as well as you. You ought to congratulate yourself for having the self-control. Self-control is not weakness, James. Don't confuse self-control with weakness. That's a big mistake. You should be proud of yourself for having that kind of constraint. But that's not the issue here. The issue is how you're going to handle this, not how the child's going to handle it. It's how you're going to – if you're going to be able to control your impulses when she's – let's say, brings a guy home and your son is with them and you don't like the guy, what are you going to do then?
I don't know how I would react in that situation.
Well, here's the thing, is you've got to not react in that situation. You've got to show the same self-restraint that you have been showing with her. Look, if she's a provocative type who gets off on provoking you to seeing your reactions, and there are none because you don't want to fight in front of the kids, you know what's coming after you split up. She's going to bring guys around just to provoke you. Am I right about that? That's what you fear.
That is my fear.
Yeah. Okay. So what's the answer? The answer is don't respond. You got to not respond. You can't react. What she's going to do is try to get you crazy, so you'll react, and then she gets a restraining order, and then you never see your child. Do you want that to happen? No.
Never.
All right. So answer your own question, James. You're just really using me as a sounding board. The days are going to come very soon, if they haven't already. You're going to go over there to get the kid on your days or your week. She's going to be with a guy that you hate the minute you walk in, whatever it may be. I don't even know. I don't want to know. It's going to be someone that you know that you hate, just looking at him, right? You can't say a word. You cannot say a word. So I recommend that if you don't have one, you get a go-between. You have anyone who talks to the two of you who is sort of neutral?
Yeah. I think that we have some mutual friends and some actually – both of us have family that we both...
Well, there you go. You're going to use the family and friends as buffers. You're not going to say a word to her about the choice of men. It's not going to get you what you want. It's going to turn it into an insane asylum. And if it gets bad, you're going to go over there with a family member or a friend as a kind of buffer. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah,
Yeah, that makes a lot.
And by the way, just remember what we said. We will probably never talk again. You've shown strength, not weakness, by not fighting back with that woman, okay? So you use that in the relationship. Okay, so I think I've done a good job. I earned my Eagles badge, my Eagle merit, my merit badge for the Eagle Scout Award in dealing with something terrible. But I have no experience in it. I'm no experience in that, you know, because I just don't. Thank God I never had to live through that. Oh, my God, the time is flying. It's already 18 minutes after the hour. We have time for one quick call. Robert in Virginia, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I got married 25 years ago. I started out as a Reform Jew, got married to someone in the religious middle, and now she and my children have moved to the religious right.
So you mean they become what? Wait, hold on. Let me see if I understand. They become Orthodox Jewish or Orthodox Christian?
Jewish.
Okay. Is she your wife or your ex-wife?
Wife.
So she's a Hasid?
No. Just we live, you know, the religious lifestyle, and I'm still objecting from within, and I'm wondering for the benefit
of
the
other
family.
Oh, so in other words, she's keeping the Sabbath, that kind of thing in the house, and you find it odd for you as a Reform secular type of Jewish person, right?
Right, and we're living in that community, so either you're part of a community or not. So, but you don't.
No, hold on now. This is a very, very important question, Robert. And I don't want to give it short shrift because you're calling me because you believe I have something to offer you. And I don't want to say something that could affect your family negatively. So let me begin by saying this. I think your wife is doing the right thing. She's doing what she thinks she needs to do to bring the family closer to God and to keep the children from going astray. Wouldn't you think that that's the reason she's done this?
And that's a great benefit to my kids. I will admit that.
Oh, so hold on then. I'm going to come back and we're going to pick this up because this question is not limited to a Reform or let's say liberal type of Jewish person with a wife who goes more fundamentalist. It's the same in a Christian relationship where the family, let's say, starts out, let's say, being lapsed Catholics. And as the marriage goes on and you have children, sometimes one or other of the family will become more devout. How do you deal with it? I'll be right back. It is the Savage Nation. So look, before the break, a man called. He's a secular kind of liberal Jewish guy. His wife's become more religious. And he wanted to know how. Yeah, I don't know what he. Robert, what exactly is it you were asking me? What part of this is troublesome to you?
Giving up his masculinity or his manhood towards his wife. And I have wondering, is it the same thing by giving up the kind of religious life you want to live and becoming more religious when you don't really want to.
In other words, you're comparing it to the Romney question with Ann stepping on his words, what I think of it as a talk show host. No, I don't think it's at all the same thing. Your wife has made a decision to become more religious. She's doing so because she wants to be closer to God. In so doing, she's going to try and keep the children away from temptation. As you know, we live in a cesspool where the Hollywood sewer pipe is ever present. It can destroy children's minds. She's trying to do the best thing for herself and the children. So where are you in discord with this?
I'm not. I've had a very good life that way. But right now I'm rushing against the Sabbath clock trying to get home.
Yeah, but what? Oh, in other words, you'd rather hang out in a bar tonight and have, like, cheese doodles or something with a couple of guys?
No, I'd rather not drive 80 miles an hour trying to get home.
Okay, so you're trying to get home in time for sundown. You don't like sticking to laws that are 5,000 years old. In other words, you like a shrimp roll once in a while is what you're saying?
Sort of, metaphorically speaking, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You like a ham sandwich when no one's looking.
Exactly.
Well, you think God's going to punish you for having a ham sandwich or a shrimp roll? I don't know what to say. If you're a secular kind of guy and your wife's super religious, does she mind if you stray in that direction on those minor little violations of religious law?
As long as I'm not doing it in front of the children.
So, what's the problem? You go to work every day. But don't you enjoy the Sabbath dinner or you don't like being there?
No, I do. I tell you, to be able to check out for 24 hours from working your
right. Career. You empty your pockets. You turn the world off. What could be better? You're a lucky man. God has blessed you. Thank you, wife.
Set.
Here's some breaking news. Stop the music. Stop the music. This came out 4 minutes ago. The corrupt state of California just approved funding for a train to nowhere. That's right. Governor Moonbeam with his Democrat cronies just approved billions of dollars minutes ago to construct a train to nowhere. A train to nowhere that will cost at least $68 billion. That's what they say today. That means it'll be $300 billion by the time it's over. This bill was pushed by unions and their governor, their personal governor, Jerry Brown, and Demon Cat leaders and so-called labor groups. They can now begin selling $2.6 billion in bonds to build an initial 130-mile stretch in the Central Valley that will service absolutely nobody. Nobody will use this rail line for years, if ever. The fact of the matter is the state is broken. To call this a boondoggle is being too polite to the situation itself. This is not an infrastructure project that will ever be used. It will simply generate make-work jobs. And, of course, this is a result of the corrupt state of California, the corrupt broken state of California, the corrupt union-dominated state of California that is now finally putting a nail, the final nail in the coffin of the state of California. It is a colossal fiscal train wreck for the state of California. Nobody will use this. In 100 years, they'll look back upon this. It will be known as Brown's Folly. So this is breaking news. California just okayed funding for a high-speed rail line that most voters have rejected, Democrat and Republican alike. We go back to regular programming now on the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Any topic is fair game. The number one topic today is Ann Romney interrupting Mitt Romney during an interview, and I'm saying or asking, is she doing more harm than good? And I'm saying, is it time for her to get out of the picture and let him take the reins and start fighting back? Now, by comparison, do we have the soundbite of Chris Christie from the other day? Right, play that for a minute. Here's Chris Christie of New Jersey.
Let's hear it. Are you going to be addressing the legislature?
Did I say on topic? Are you stupid? On topic. On topic. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all very much. And I'm sorry for the idiot over there. Take care.
Good for you. Chris Christie, by the way, could be elected president. For the reasons that I'm telling. First of all, the man's smart. He's got guts. He's willing to take on the idiots in the media. He's willing to take on the demon cats, the socialists, and the other creeps who have destroyed America. So now they're screaming because he took on some guy on the boardwalk in New Jersey who tried to razz him while he was buying an ice cream cone. And he started to saying, what are you, stupid? You're a big shot? See, this is exactly what's missing in Mitt Romney. Nice guys don't finish last. They don't finish at all. That's the reality of it. And I can tell you right now, if they dumped Romney and put in Chris Christie at the Republican convention, the conservative Republicans would win by 20 points. This country is not sure about Obama. Look, the diehards are, the unionists are, the grifters are, those who own the sporting goods store who are seeing the things going out the back door love Obama. But there's a large swath of Americans who don't like him, or are, let's say, leery of him, or they're out of work, and they want a plain-spoken, strong guy like Chris Christie. And that's why Chris Christie will never be selected for the VP slot by Mitt Romney, precisely for the reasons I just mentioned. Never in a million years. He's exactly the tonic that America needs. He's exactly the man who could beat Obama. He's exactly the man who could save us from this juggernaut of left-wing fanaticism, and that's exactly why the Republicans will never pick him. New York, WOR, Ann, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Yes, hello. I wanted to say that you made a comment about timing. As far as, you know, if the timing is off, then it's no longer funny. I think that Mitt Romney is biding his timing. I would like for us to remember how he came across when a lot of people criticized him when he made his comment about the ruling of Roberts. But we need to remember that somebody as ruthless as Obama and the ruthless vermin of the Rottweilers that uphold them were just waiting and dying for Mitt Romney to also dishonor the court the same way that Obama dishonored the court. And very quickly on Mitt Romney's wife, I hope that she does not make it a habit, but in this particular incident, she defended him on something that had he done it himself, he would have looked like a crybaby and boastful. And she spoke after he made his point that Obama was trying to grow a government. But I do hope, like you...
It's very interesting what you're saying. No, I've heard every word you said, and you make good sense. So let's do this. Let's play the clip 5 again. And I'm going to ask the audience all over again, do you think Ann Romney is doing more harm than good by taking too prominent a role in the campaign? Let's listen.
The president's going on a bus tour. He's got no new answers. All he's saying is, let's go government some more.
Well, I feel like all he's doing is saying, let's kill this guy.
Well,
and I feel like that's not really a very good campaign policy.
Wimpy dimpy, Mr. Rogers isn't going to win. No, sir. We're voting for Mr. Rogers, not for Mr. and Mrs. Rogers. Moreover, when Mrs. Rogers steps up to the plate and cuts him off because he doesn't look like he's saying the right thing, or he looks like he's going to drift off again into some, you know, golf course mentality, it makes her look strong and him look weaker. That's what I'm saying. And that's what worries me. If he's not tough enough on his own to take on this corrupt administration, how is he going to take on the Islamists and the Russians and the Chinese? That's it. Now, Chris Christie could. Chris Christie is the kind of president we need right now. But that's never going to happen. That's wishful thinking. Pittsburgh, PA, Chris, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, man. I just want to go ahead and say that before I start. And also, I also want to say that you're a right-wing radical bigot.
Well, that's very intense. Did they give you a quarter in the prison? Chris, did they give you a 25-cent quarter or a token in the prison to drop the coin? Tyler, Texas. Christina, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I have a question that's going to call on your nutritional education. I have a 13-month-old, and I want to know your opinion on giving juice to toddlers. My daycare that I send her to insists that she has juice, so I make a point to make all of her juice fresh. And if you agree with giving
how old is she? How old is she?
13 months.
Do you give it to her in a bottle?
No, I insist that our juice is in a sippy cup.
Well, juice is a tricky substance for babies. There's an obsession in America right now with juices. However, juices can be very acidic, number one. Babies' tummies are not made to digest juices necessarily at such an early age. Moreover, there's a danger of the acid, in, particularly in, even in apple juice, of discoloring your baby's teeth, incidentally. I would be very cautious in overdoing the juice. Number one, you know, that's a very important point, because just because it's good for adults doesn't mean it's good for babies. On the other hand, I have to ask you, what type of milk are you feeding her?
At this point, she's on whole milk, cow's whole milk.
She's not, has she ever been breastfed?
Oh, yes, yes. We breastfed her up until 7 months.
Okay, and she's healthy?
Oh, yeah. She did have a bad history of ear infections, which is why I'm against the juice in general.
Wait, she had ear infections, which is why you're against juice?
Well, the sugar and processed juice and juice, I make all of her juices here, but I don't like her to have store-bought juice because of the sugar content.
Right, right. Well, so you know much more about nutrition than the average person. Fructose itself can be quite problematic. And most people don't realize the sugar content of juices. The best answer I could give you, Christina, is the answer you're giving me, which is that your child is healthy, so you must intuitively know what you're doing. Mothers generally know what they're doing if they're this conscious, as conscious as you are. Okay, let's start with that. And if you breastfed the child, and how did you treat her for the ear infections, incidentally?
Well, she has tubes. She does get eardrops. Ciprodex whenever she has the discharge from her ears.
Oh, so she has an ongoing problem with ear infection. Well, let me give you something to look into. I cannot give medical advice on this program for a couple of reasons, one of which is that I'm not a medical doctor, two, I'm not a pediatrician, and three, this is not a medical advice show. On the other hand, I would suggest very strongly that you look into vitamin A in treating ear infections in infants. Vitamin A is one of the most powerful of all of the vitamins. It's fat soluble, so it has to be used with some degree of caution. However, most babies are completely deficient in vitamin A. And I'm giving you personal experience going back 30 years. Personally, and I've seen it over and over again, vitamin A in the right dosage for babies can reverse ear infections quite rapidly. And I would give it to them with the advice of a pediatrician who's skilled in nutrition, and there may not be too many. There may not be too many holistic pediatricians around, but if there are any, speak to your holistic pediatrician who knows an awful lot about nutrition, about the correct dose of vitamin A drops for your baby. You may find something there for you. Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255. Las Vegas, Eric, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, you were right on about Romney's wife stepping on his lines, making him look weak. But also, I think that he better not pick anybody, like you just said, like Christie, to have a much stronger vice president than he is the president. It's going to make him look even weaker.
Yes, I agree with you. He'll pick a weak vice president, not a strong one. And that's what worries me. He needs the exact opposite. He needs somebody opposite to his meekness. You know, I don't know how to put this. I mean, everyone's wringing their hands over Mitt Romney. They know the man is a good man. They know he's a kind man. They know he's an intelligent man, an honest man. But that does not add up to an inspiring candidate, does it?
Well, with that interview you played with his wife, I can understand if he finished the sentence and then she chimed in with something else. But he was still talking.
Yeah.
That makes
and you know what? You know, there's more. There's more to this than meets the eye. If he is so conditioned to immediately quiet down the minute his wife speaks over him, what do you suspect is going to happen when he debates Obama? I laid awake in bed last night with depression, thinking about those days that are to come. Mitt Romney's going to go out there, and Obama's going to wipe the floor with him. Because Romney's going to sit there and play defense, and he's going to get chopped to ribbons. That's what worries me. And if he's waiting to show his strength, he's waiting a little too long as far as I am concerned. I need the man to hear me. I need him to understand that I've been saying this for months. Trump came out and said it. Murdoch came out and said it. How many people have to tell the Romney family the things we are telling them? Which is get out of your husband's way and let him start speaking about something other than platitudes about jobs. Right. And moreover, when he goes into a debate with Obama, Obama's very street smart. You could say anything you want about him. He's a very intelligent man. He's fast on his feet. He's got a wonderful voice, and he's going to speak over Romney. He's not going to let him talk. Now, add to that the fact that they're going to let a liberal moderator set up the questions, and they're going to destroy Romney before he even gets into the ring. They're either going to use that sellout fraud Bob Schieffer or that other one, Wolf Blitzer, and they're going to chop Romney up simply by the questions they ask. They're never going to permit the questions and about the scandals. They're never going to let the questions. I want me to give you 10 questions they won't ask? How's that for a show topic? 10 questions the liberal moderator will not ask during the presidential debates. How's that for a homework assignment over the weekend? 10 questions that the liberal moderator or moderators will never permit to be asked of Obama during the final presidential campaign. I can give you 10 of them right off the top of my head. Let's start with one that's a little offbeat. Sir, as commander-in-chief, do you find yourself to be personally responsible for the death of the 22 Navy SEALs who were killed in that unfortunate accident in the Chinook helicopter? That's like a showstopper. A showstopper. That's question one that won't be asked. Sir, as commander-in-chief, do you feel that your policies in the Middle East have backfired in that Islamists have now risen to power from Libya to Egypt? Question number two that will not be allowed to be asked. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Unbelievable to me the level of fiscal insanity in the state of California and in the Obama regime. You have a bankrupt nation. You have a bankrupt state. You have two out of control, out of touch leaders, both in the state of California and, of course, in the federal government. And their answer to bankruptcy is to spend more money. It's shocking to believe they can get away with this. If you were bankrupt, would you try to spend your way out of bankruptcy? You wouldn't be able to do it. How can they do it? How do they get away with it? Well, here we have a state of California that's totally bankrupt, totally controlled by the unions, a governor put in by the unions. They just okayed a boondoggle unlike any in the history of the state. You remember that move? They just approved the railroad to nowhere, a high-speed rail line that goes nowhere. It will never go anywhere. It'll never be completed. It'll sit there with glistening tracks long after the dinosaurs return to the planet. They'll have tracks somewhere that cost about $100 billion that went right up. It's unbelievable to me how they get away with this. Is there not a Democrat somewhere in California who listens to this show who agrees with me that Governor Brown's funding for the high-speed rail line is fiscal insanity? Or do you Democrats have no concept of reality anymore? Have you become that brainwashed into thinking that because a D does it, it's good? Well, okay, I've stated my position on it. I've stated my position. Barack Obama, same exact thing. We're bankrupt, spend more money. California, bankrupt, spend more money. State of California, federal government, we're being overrun by illegal aliens from Mexico. Answer, eliminate the Border Patrol altogether. Being overrun by drug gangs, answer to the Border Patrol, run away if they shoot at you. Everything is upside down. It's a topsy-turvy world. Meanwhile, we have a heat wave that's breaking records across the nation. Of course, this too shall pass. And once it passes, it'll be forgotten like every other heat wave that has come during the summer and been forgotten. No doubt there'll be a rainstorm that comes very soon, and people start complaining about the rain. And I got to tell you, it's just crazy to me to see what people are willing to put up with. I don't understand what it's going to take for the voters to finally understand how insane the leadership is to spend money like this when there is no money to spend. So if you want to talk about that, okay. Otherwise, we can talk about personal problems, which I'd rather not do. And again, I ask, is Ann Romney doing more harm than good? So let's go to the beginning of this interview. Let's hear clip three now in the interview between Ann and Mitt Romney and the liberal attackers on CBS News.
I want to ask Mrs. Romney this question about some of the attacks that have been levied against you. And when you hear the President of the United States saying that a president needs compassion and that your husband doesn't have it, do you listen to that?
It makes you recognize that they are going to do everything they can to destroy Mitt.
Okay, so let's stop right there. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. That's something she would say in a living room. See, here's another problem. Nobody has coached her. They're afraid of her. That's the wrong answer. Instead of taking the defense of saying they're going to destroy Mitt, she should have attacked Obama by saying he's a sleazeball for attacking my husband, who's 100 times a better man than him. And she could have gone on a tear right here against Obama. But again, everyone's afraid of Ann Romney. They're not teaching her what to say. They think she's so smart that she knows how to handle it. She's not skilled in the political arena. Listen to me. Now listen to clip four.
So, you know, they're trying to portray him in a light that is just completely wrong.
Why?
Stop.
Why
is Stop. That again, the defense. Wrong. Again, she let the CBS slime ball put them on the defense instead of going on the attack. So let's play clip four again and see the mistakes the Romneys are making.
So, you know, they're trying to portray him in a light that is just completely wrong.
Why? Why is that?
Well, it's politics, as Mitt said. And, you know, I think early on we heard what their strategy was. It was kill Romney. And, you know, that was their memo that came out from their campaign. And it's like, not when I'm next to him, you better not.
What's the ha-ha-ha from the liberal fool? What's the ha-ha-ha? So now we have a woman sitting up there saying that I'm going to defend my husband against his opponent in the presidential election. And he sits there like Mr. Dummy. Why doesn't she just get an oversized pocketbook for him to carry on the stage? And she can now speak and he could sit there with an S-eating grin. I mean, this is getting worse by the day. This is a mistake. And as good a woman as Ann Romney is, as intelligent as she is, as loyal as she needs to step back and she needs to let Mitt Romney fight the battles, not her.
Savvy.
Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
And here are some of the news stories on MichaelSavage.com, home of the Savage Nation, where borders, language, and culture rule the day. Top right, Libya elections, as I predicted, Muslim Brotherhood set to lead in Libya. This is what Libyans wanted. Islamists. Is this what Hillary wanted? Is this what Obama wanted? Is this what Soros wanted? Apparently so, because they cheered them on. They overthrew Gaddafi. When are you people going to wake up to the fact that Islamists and their friends are running America? California passes an anti-Arizona immigration bill by the most psychotic of all state senators. A madman is now taking the side of illegal Mexican citizens. UN calls for billionaires' tax to help world's poor. Can you believe this? They want the people on the earth who are making a good living in an honest manner, who already are taxed to death, to pay more money to the rotten, stinking, corrupt, degenerate United Nations. Up in Oakland, California, crime is on the upkeep. Crime is rising because they don't like police. Crime is now soaring. So guess what the liberals, the little old ladies in gray hair, are doing? They're not hiring more police. They're buying cameras. They're taking matters into their own hands. Not guns, but cameras. Liberalism is a mental disorder. Pentagon deeply concerned by a rash of murders of American troops by Afghani security forces. They're concerned about it. Sobbing Ohio woman happens to be Obama's best fan. She cried when he gave a speech because he gave her health care. You think she was a plant? Oh, no. Brad Pitt's mom pens an anti-Obama letter to the newspaper. Good for her, Brad. I guess you won't work in this town anymore. DHS says you're all militia extremists now. Corzine still not indicted by Holder for missing $1.3 billion. Jewish teen survives anti-Semitic attack by Muslims on a French train. Also on MichaelSavage.com, let's go to the bottom. We know all about Roberts and Obamacare and that he's a turncoat and a sellout who's hiding on Malta. Five arrested for abusing disabled. They were starved, beaten, forbidden to use toilet paper, and basically treated like, well, worse than animals. Yes, it's a Vietnamese gang using schizophrenic Vietnamese to cash in on Uncle Sam's big old apple pie. Trickle-down tyranny is the blueprint for defeating Obama. Have you read it yet? There's still time. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number here on the Savage Nation. These and other headlines will be covered today. The rest of the news will tell you right now that the outlook of this country is getting worse by the day. Muslim congressman urges U.S. schools to be modeled after madrasas. I read it on the show yesterday. And finally today, notice unemployment is on the way up. It's at 8.2%. Team Obama predicted an unemployment rate of 5.6% with their stimulus of $1 trillion. It went down. The employment went down. Unemployment rate for blacks jumped to 14.4%. 780,000 fewer women are employed under Obama. Just 80,000 jobs are added in June, Mr. Obama. How many more can you hire? All this and more right here on the Savage Nation. Now let's listen to the audio sounds from today on the Savage Nation. Mitt Romney and his wife Ann were on CBS criticizing the Obama administration's campaign tactics.
So, you know, they're trying to portray him in a light that is just completely wrong.
Why? Why is that?
Well, it's politics, as Mitt said. And, you know, I think early on we heard what their strategy was. It was kill Romney. And, you know, that was their memo that came out from their campaign. And it's like, not when I'm next to him, you better not.
They think Ann Romney is going to connect better than Mitt with voters.
Maybe they're right.
The president's going on a bus tour. He's got no new answers. All he's saying is, let's go government some more.
Well, I feel like all he's doing is saying, let's kill this guy.
And
I feel like that's not really a very good campaign policy.
Vice President Joe Biden was taking up the Obama campaign's us versus them rhetoric, joking about Swiss bank accounts. It's better than having Swiss cheese between your ears.
How many of y'all have a Swiss bank account? And he says the president's out of touch? By the way, parenthetically, do you ever think he'd be choosing between two guys for president, one with a Swiss bank account, one without?
Biden also goes after the mean Republicans because they're going after the middle class. He has that backwards. Obama's a Marxist. Marxists want to destroy the middle class. I guess Biden never read Marxism 101.
There's a pretty uniform view held by Mr. Romney and the Republicans in the United States Congress today. They criticize you and they blame you. They make you the fall guy. They should be thinking of ways to help you make your job easier, not more difficult. Instead, they hector, they lecture, and they blame you. And they call you selfish.
Now let's listen to the man himself, King Obama, lecturing the American people on how mean the politics of re-election are going to be. I guess he's too good for it.
I believe we rise or fall as one nation, as one people. And I believe what's stopping us is not our capacity to meet our challenges. What's stopping us is our politics.
On to other topics.
The Muslim Brotherhood has come to prominence in the Middle East. Thank you, Hillary Clinton. And the American Jews are rushing to support Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. It's astounding to me how insane the liberal Jewish community is. Israel's back is to the wall. The worst nightmare imaginable has occurred in the Middle East, next to the disappearance of the Jewish state itself, tied directly to Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Zbigniew Brzezinski with Soros' money, and the powerful, powerful donor base of wealthy Jewish people, sorry to use loaded statements, but it's unfortunately true, will not let go of their bias for liberal Democrats. It's astounding to me what's going on in the world, but it's going to get worse. It's amazing this week. And who's left here? Who's left here? Who's left? Where's the Republican Party? So I'm quoting some silly screenplay from 1950 called Born Yesterday, which concludes in a great scene in the end where the girl who was slapped around, played by Judy Holliday, after she's slapped by the gangster husband and she leaves him, she walks into great black and white scene. You know, talking about film noir. She walks underneath the Jefferson Memorial and she looks up. And she sees the words that we're going to play now in clip one. Listen, play it.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
Do you realize how brilliant that one sentence is? Do you realize what genius this old white male called Thomas Jefferson exhibited with that sentence? I have sworn the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. I don't know of a statement that can match that from virtually anybody in this country or outside this country. But what do you do when you wake up and you realize that we have a tyranny that has emerged slowly over the years from the executive branch, a tyranny that is growing, metastasizing? So Michael Savage, immigrant son, writes Trickle-Down Tyranny, Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America. I know. You're just peddling a book. Well, was Jefferson just peddling an idea? Well, if Jefferson was just peddling an idea against tyranny, then I'm just peddling an extension of Jefferson's idea in Trickle-Down Tyranny. Because as sure as this immigrant son is sitting here before a microphone, we have a tyrant in the White House and a tyranny over the mind of man in the form of the media, unlike any ever seen in the world. A tyranny over the mind of man unlike ever seen in this country, let's say, is what's going on now with the Leni Riefenstahl media. So let's take some callers as we see our country being melted down by sellouts like Supreme Court Chief Justice Roberts, who joined the diehard liberals in permitting the illegal aliens to have their way and their sway over America's sovereignty. It's shocking to see this. Let me take some callers on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Ronald in Las Vegas, thanks for calling. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. I was in Washington, D.C. I've been there and read that myself. In Query 18, Notes on the State of Virginia, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever, that considering nature, number, and natural means only."
But you see, here's the problem. Once we start it, the audience goes away. I appreciate it. But see, I give you a simple quote that says it all, and now we get a whole lecture already. It's already high school, and I went to sleep. If I went to sleep, the audience went to sleep. I gave it simple. "I have sworn on the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man." Why was that one line picked for the Jefferson Memorial? Because the average person walking through it could possibly remember it. What you read to me is brilliant, but no one will ever remember it. So I'm sorry to be so harsh, but I have, you know, the time is short and the work is long. The time is short. We have a very short window to save America. We lose it, it's over. This tyrant will be in power for the rest of his life. Just as he has used the executive order to run roughshod over this country and its constitution, you mark Michael Savage's words, whether I'm on radio or not, if this tyrant wins a second term, he'll eliminate term limits. Mark my words. Mark my words. I was the first one to tell you what was going to happen on so many things. I'm telling you, this tyrant will eliminate term limits and will have another dictatorship unlike anything you've ever seen in this country. And then you'll never get rid of him. Never.
I'll be right back. Savage.
I'm exhausted from this already. Let's play. How about some music, something? I guess before I get into another heavy topic, give me some old-fashioned rock and roll. Let me think of what I want to hear to make me feel better. Like, I don't know, a dance song, a love song, something about women on a pedestal. The women have gone from the pedestal to being kicked into the gutter, and they call it a women's movement. How did that happen? My generation, women were put up on a pedestal, so now they demanded equality. They're in the gutter with men. How'd that work out? How'd that work out? That work out well for women? I don't know what keeps me going altogether. If I was a normal person, I wouldn't be on the radio. Why am I doing this? Most people make their bundle and then they stop working. What drives me? I don't even know what drives me anymore. So what makes Sammy run? What am I doing this for? There's something in me. I don't know what it is. I really don't understand it. I'm not supposed to be working anymore. The average American wants to work to 55, if that long, and then spend the rest of his life gambling on a cruise ship or hitting a stupid ball around a golf course. I don't understand it. Or visiting doctors who tell him that everything will be okay. Visiting doc... Okay, turn it off already, the music. There's enough one shot now, and I'm getting a double migraine from that. The biggest entertainment for most senior citizens is abusing the medical system. Cymbal shot. I'll say it again. Get the cymbal ready. And the applause and the laughter. The biggest entertainment, the number one entertainment for most senior citizens in America is getting free medical care. Okay, that's good. The number one attention getter for most senior citizens who most people despise is going doctor shopping during the week. Okay, you get the picture of what I'm saying? Every day they go to another doctor, this specialist or that specialist. What's wrong with you? I got a crank here. Something hurts me there. I'll go in there, come out there. What the next day they go to the free psychologist. What's wrong? My children don't call me anymore because I have no money left. Cymbal shot. On Wednesday they go because something wrong between the legs. It doesn't work the way it used to do. Is there something you can do about it? Cymbal shot. On Thursday they go to the back specialist, the chiropractor jockey. The next Medicare fraud, the next division of Medicare fraud is the chiropractic area. And they tell him, "I don't know, I was busy with the ironing and something. I was on the golf course, I was playing tennis, I had something hurt here. Is there something you could do?" Cymbal shot. Now you wonder why the system is broken. Never before in history, okay, it's enough with the cymbals. Never before in history have so many people thought there was something wrong with them when there's nothing wrong with them. And they have doctors out there who are more than willing to accept them as patients in order to bill Medicare. No cymbal shot necessary. It's the human condition to have aches and pains. I remember when I was 11, when I started to complain, my mother, God rest her soul, said, she said, don't you think I have headaches? Don't you think I have backaches? She said, ignore them. That's what you do. You ignore them. Who's going to listen to you? Who's going to listen to you? There's hundreds of thousands of doctors that wouldn't exist was it not for Medicare. So you wonder why the system is broke. It's hard, like on a hot day like today, the country's suffering from a heat wave. Luckily, the Bay Area is where I live. Is so gorgeous. I want to get you jealous. I mean, it's gorgeous. There's not fog in the air, but it's cool. It's got a breeze. I'm able to wear a long sleeve shirt. I can walk around. My face is cool. It's why I fled the sweltering streets of New York so long ago. I mean, I miss certain things, you know, seeing fat Italian guys eating scongili on the streets of Mulberry Street when I was a kid. That was a treat. The fat Clemenzes. Literally drinking the food on the streets. I don't see that on the West Coast. Everyone is very polite. All the ethnic groups that came out to the West Coast got denuded of their ethnicity so that you don't really see the color that you would see when I was young in New York, which I miss, truthfully. I like the melting pot. Even the unmelted part of the melting pot was actually the most fun part of New York, was the unmelted part of the melting pot. I like the pieces of the pot that were not melted. Of course, we have a little too much of the wrong kind of unmelted. I was looking up some Jefferson quotes that I gave you one, which is like a boring high school class, right? But you're going to hear it anyway because it's good for you. Immediately, the radios, they changed the dial already. But the minute I said you're going to listen to a quote from Jefferson, right away, the dial got changed to, I'm going to bang him, I'm going to hang him, I'm going to rang him. I got asked me 50 words in English, I'm going to bang him, I'm going to rang him, I'm going to hang him. I'm going to do you. I'm going to who you. I'm going to bang him. I'm going to rang him. I'm going to dang him. Now, you know who'll be invited to the White House? The rap singer, not the man who quotes Jefferson, because as you understand, that's the world today. So I started with this one. Upon the altar of God, I pledge eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Gorgeous. Had I known it, I would have put it in trickle-down tyranny. But here's better ones. You ready for this? Some of them are longer, but here's a shorter one. Put this in your mind. This should be taught to every school child instead of how to put a condom on a cucumber. You ready? Dissent is the highest form of patriotism. Send that to Hillary Savage. Clinton. Dissent is the highest form of patriotism. Send that to the White House. Here's another one for Obama. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. Now, what do we have today? I want to ask you. Do you fear the government? Do you think that they fear you? Who do you think fears who more? Do you think the government fears you, or do you fear Napolitano and the FBI more? You don't even have to answer the question. You have no power over your life at all. You are basically a victim. Here, you want another one? Government big enough to supply everything you need is big enough to take everything you have. Government big enough, Barack Obama. Barry, pay attention, Barry, while you're eating your split up in New Hampshire. Government big enough to supply everything you need is big enough to take everything you have. Attention, Barry. Barry, here's the rest of Jefferson, because I know you're such a constitutional scholar, Barry. The course of history shows us that as a government grows, liberty decreases. There's one for you, Barry. That's one for the road. Dissent is the highest form of patriotism, Barry. Maybe you could put that into the bulletproof limousine on top of your glass so you know that people who are dissenting are not your enemy. They're actually your friend. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny, Barry. When the government fears the people, there is liberty, Janet. Here's one for Wolf Blitzer. The man who reads nothing at all is better educated than the man who reads nothing but newspapers. Of course, today newspapers are the equivalent of CNN. Wolf, this is for you, you shameful worm, you. The man who reads nothing at all is better educated than the man who reads nothing but newspapers. Here's one more for you, Janet. The democracy will cease to exist when you take away from those who are willing to work and give to those who would not. That's for you, Barry. The democracy will cease to exist when you take away from those who are willing to work and give to those who would not. About 50% of us are not willing to work. And the 50% of those who are willing to work have had enough of the leeches, Barry. Put that in the bulletproof limo. Mississippi, Josh, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage,
Josh.
I have a theory as to why it is that you still work, even though you've made your money. And it can be summed up easily by a quote by Colonel Harlan Sanders of Kentucky Fried Chicken fame. He once said that man will rust out before he'll wear out.
That's right. And the way I read it was, first of all, it's ingrained in me now. I've been working since I'm 5 years old. It was basically drilled into me as a child that work is an ethic and that a man must work and that a man who doesn't work is a bum. So what does retirement mean? What do you do in retirement? You play golf? How could I do a thing like that? You travel? I've done all the traveling a man could ever want to do when I was young, but I traveled with a purpose. I didn't travel for pleasure. Others do. I can't understand that. I traveled with a reason and a purpose, and I built a monument of scientific literature in my travel. So what is left for me to do but try to basically do the best I can at this point? There's nothing else to do, Josh. It's as simple. But it was said best by Rodin the sculptor, who I've admired since I was 18 years old, when I read his words, and he said, work is the only salvation. And you analyze it. Work is the only salvation. Now, radio is not the only work that I do, nor is it the only work that I wish to do. I'm emerging and evolving into some other form where eventually you'll see where that evolves as time goes on. Radio is only one aspect of my work. Writing is another aspect. And I believe you'll soon see in the year 2013, with God's help, a totally new form of work for Michael Savage. And it's not going to be running for the U.S. Senate, I can guarantee you. These are amazing times. You're living through the most amazing times in modern American history. You've got a growing tyranny. You have an illegal alien population that wants to run the country with more authority and more influence over the government than the population itself. You have one criminal act after another being exposed by the Obama administration, which is swept under the rug by the most powerful propaganda machine known to mankind, far more powerful than any ever seen, the power of the modern media, run by demons in Hollywood. It's hard to imagine the level of the demonic minds of those in Hollywood. You don't get me started on them. You talk about men on bath salts. I don't know what Katzenberg and Spielberg are on, but it must be worse than bath salts. I mean, when you think about it, a guy goes on bath salts and he does a horrible thing. He eats another man's face. But what do you do with a guy like Katzenberg and Spielberg who have eaten the mind of a nation and are now eating the mind of the world? They're not on bath salts. What are they on? That every movie they put out is one more vile than the other, one more despicable rendition of the human condition than the one before it, one that melts down the mind of youth even more completely than the one that precedes it. It's far worse than men on bath salts. I have no idea what Katzenberg and Spielberg were raised on to have wound up with such a mentality. I haven't any idea. It can't be the seltzer. It can't be the seltzer. Although I have theorized that the red diaper dopa babies that have ruined America and the world, who were all raised in a certain milieu, it may have been the seltzer. It could have been that all of the bottles leached lead, which is to explain the mentality of the red diaper dopa baby. It can't be the carbon dioxide, or it could be. When you think about it, seltzer water, what is seltzer water? It's carbon dioxide and water. And as we well know, carbon dioxide is toxic to the brain. And so, therefore, it could be the seltzer, for all I know. It somehow crossed the blood-brain barrier, which would be unique to science, so far as I know. But in the case of Spielberg and Katzenberg, it could be that the carbon dioxide, which normally dissolves in the water, crossed the blood-brain barrier and poisoned their minds to this extent that they would create such vile imagery for the world to have set off revolutions throughout the Muslim world and to have degenerated the entire nature of man. It's possible. It is definitely possible.
I'll be right back. Savage.
What else is on the Savage Nation? Food stamps, $80 billion a year for food stamps, but Janet Napolitano won't reveal what's purchased with food stamps. Sheriff Joe, I'm not backing off of anything. God bless him. Obama in New Hampshire having an ice cream run. Romney in Arizona having a money run. having a money run. He's having a money run while the other one's having an ice cream run. Not one word about what happened in the Supreme Court. It's 102 degrees somewhere. You didn't listen to a word I said. If I put on a clown mask and made ugly sounds or, let us say, had sexual deviance on and made fun of them, then you'd be listening. Then I would be able to go on Sirius and make $14 million a minute. Anything with sex in it, apparently. But, yeah, what's the point? Woman high on bath salts tried to bite officer's face. Man on bath salts talking to Jesus attacks elderly woman with shovel. Hollywood magnates not on bath salts eat America's brain. See, that's a headline that's not yet on Drudge. Katzenberg and Spielberg not on bath salts have eaten America's brain. See, that should be on Drudge. But someone has to figure out whether it was the carbon dioxide that crossed the blood-brain barrier that did it to Katzenberg and Spielberg. How could a boy like Spielberg, whose father was a bombardier in World War II who loved America, how could he have created such an anti-American vile man like Spielberg? How is it possible? Talented, yes. Talented, yes, in a minor key. He could make some dramatic movies for children. But in terms of what he's done to the American mind, it's hard to fathom a man like. How does it happen? I don't know. It couldn't have been the ham sandwiches. I don't think he had any. You can't blame it on the nitrites in the ham. I don't know. Maybe it was carp, maybe the poison carp or the pike, the holiday food, the carp and the pike. I don't know. I don't have an answer for these things. Now I'm already drifting into the live performance in September already at the Marin Center. It's on, by the way. It's on. Can I tell you how I've been working on it? You want to hear what a role you had, you, the audience? Remember on this show when I was saying to you, I don't want to just do 60 to 90 minutes of I'm not O'Reilly going to stand there like a stick in the mud. Because he just reads his books. They applaud. They pay him the 75 G's and he goes home. He flies home on the broken old airplane. Okay, forget about it. I can't just get up there like a stiff in an auditorium. I would be embarrassed to do what O'Reilly does. I would be embarrassed to do that and take money and fly back home the next minute. As the stooges throw money. I'm not going to do. So I have to give you a performance for the money. So I was in a panic. What am I going to do? So I asked you what I should do. And one woman called Friday. Bless her soul. You know what she said? Get your home movies, your old home movies of your years in Fiji, your years in North Beach, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and reduce them to CDs, get small pieces, and run them as breaks. I did that. I did two of them as a test over the weekend. I had a guy take my 8mm movies. Some of them were moldy. I'm movies from 1969, 1970. I couldn't believe them. I hadn't seen them in all these years. There I am as a young man, vigorous, the beard in the islands, collecting, chopping down trees. Then 10 years later, with my son in the jungle, stripping the bark off trees, sending it back to the Cancer Institute. I found a movie that is going to be shown at the events that I do that you're not going to believe. I searched through hundreds of 8mm movies. You know, I've talked about me as a young kid cleaning bronzes in the basement. I didn't think I had one picture. Well, I don't, of me. But I found an 8mm gem, 3 minutes, 50 feet, 3,500 frames of my father's antiques market with virtually all the characters mentioned in some of my stories. There they were. I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. It's as though I went into a dream state, and it was all on film. I'm putting that onto a CD, so it'll be like with a rear projection screen. So I'm going to do my politics on the stage, you know, the anti-tyranny politics that I do. And then I'm going to go to break saying, but let's take a break back to the past, and it's going to be, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to give the whole performance away. Some of the films I found are worth the price of admission. So I have a really big show for you. Coming up in September in Marin County. Tickets are not on sale. I know I shouldn't be talking about it. What am I going to do? I do things. I found a guy. I just went to the Yellow Pages. I was asking around, like, how do you transfer 8mm movies to DC? How do you transfer pictures to CD? How can I do it? Everyone's giving me cockamamie stories. I find a guy who's been doing this for 10 years in his house. I'm not talking about going to a photo shop where they'll do a bad job. He transfers it frame by frame, not the whole film. He does a frame by frame transfer. He doesn't lose any of the color. He can color enhance them. And then you can edit out individual frames. So the nude pictures of me will be taken out, for example. Me nude in 1969 will be removed from the I'm joking. You don't want to see it anyway, okay? Arnold Schwarzenegger, I wasn't. I was blessed with a good mind and you know what I mean, an ordinary physique. And I thank God it's not a bad physique. It's still around when you think about it. You know when you look at your physique when you were a kid, like it's the what's the guy who was just Sandusky at the Sandusky age when he was molesting boys? You never felt you were strong enough and like, you know, like vigorous, big enough muscles, so you took up weights or whatever. I guarantee you the guys who had better physiques are all dead or walking around in Boca Raton crippled where their legs don't work. How is it that the guys with ordinary bodies live longer? How is that possible? The schlemielish guy with the ordinary body actually lives longer than the guy who was built like an Athenian god. If I could see some of the Athenian gods from my high school class, if they're still living at all, I don't know what that is. What did they, because they thought that they were stronger, they abused themselves more? And us guys who were like a normal of physique watched ourselves more? You think that's it? Or is it that the normal physique is actually the stronger physique than the muscular physique, which breaks down earlier? Because the jocks, all their legs all went in the hips. I know guys who played golf at 50, it's terrible. The hips go. The backs go from golf. Why don't we ball it is, yeah. The cleft tones. Are there any tones left, or they've all become cleft? You're the only girl for me. Have they all been culled from the earth? I pray not. I hope there are some cleft tones left from Jamaica High School. From White House congratulates Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. You hear? Can you believe this dumb administration? Now, either they know that they just put the dangerous, tyrannical, fascistic, anti-Semitic, anti-Christian Muslim Brotherhood in power, or they don't know it. In either case, it's a disaster for the United States of America. The White House engineers the overthrow of Mubarak and congratulates the ascension to power of the most anti-Western party in history, in Egypt's history, since 50, 70 years ago, and they congratulate the Muslim Brotherhood. Can you believe this? Congratulating them. The Coptic Christians are being killed and driven out of Egypt. The Jews have been driven out of Egypt. They want to go to war with America eventually, and war against Israel, of course. And here's Obama, who helped install the Muslim Brotherhood, congratulating them. And people vote for him. I scratch my head. Rachel, welcome to the Savage Nation from WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Savage. It's really a delight to talk to you and to listen to you. And I tried to call in on Friday and even before
all
that.
Right, so what's on your mind today? The time is short and the, whatever.
Okay. What I see in your future is a stand-up comic.
Oh, what a great, that's great. So in other words, all the intelligence, the PhD, the science, that's nothing. I should just become a comedian.
No. It's the way you say things. I mean, you still can
get... No, throw it all in the garbage. That's what I say. Just become a Borscht Belt comedian at the end of the day. Get some balloons and make obscene figures with them, like Howard Stern on air. That would be a perfect conclusion to my life. Just become a balloon man in a casino in a Catskill Mountain Hotel circa 1950, making obscene gestures with balloons. Throw away, forget the learning. Stop talking about tyranny. What do you know about politics, Kaka? Go ahead. Just make balloon sounds. Go ahead. Make funny noises. Be a clown. Be a clown. You know, it's like Red Skelton. Underneath Red Skelton, there was an artist, a genius. Every time he showed it, people didn't want to know that. They wanted him to be a putz, a clown. It killed him. It's the same thing. What are you going to do? So, yeah, be a clown. Yeah, you're funny, Mike. I ran into an old friend yesterday. I'm not going to mention his name. A guy I know for about 2,000 years. I never see him for good reason. Symbol shot. I accidentally ran into him in a certain place. I like the guy because I have a sentimental part of me. He says to me, you're funny. He says, you know, I listen to your show every day. He says, you are always funny. We all listen to you. You always made us laugh. When you get up on that stage, just be funny. I looked at him like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's all he hears is the bad jokes. You can't help humanity. You cannot help humanity. I mean, it's just another mote in the mire. What are you going to do? In this case, it's another mire in the moat. But okay, but we won't talk about mire. He's long dead. Another mote in the mire. That's all it is. Another mote in the mire. Where have all the mires gone? Where have all the mires gone? Miami, Florida. Kelly, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mike. Hey, Michael, how are you? Hey, listen, thanks for taking my call. Listen, I get depressed, you know, I get down, and I
And I come home every day, and I've got to face my wife and kids. And I want to inspire them. I don't want to get them depressed like me when I see all this stuff going on. I got a 17-year-old boy who's about to become 18. Yeah. You know, he just became an Eagle Scout. You know, he does what's right.
So he's inspiring. He's inspiring you.
He is. They are.
So, why do you want to mess with success? You're the depressed one, not him. He's the one you look. He's the one who's giving you hope.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, I again, like I want, like I said, I want to come home and I want to inspire my family.
No, wait, hold on. Don't try to inspire when you have no inspiration to give, because it won't work. They know you're not feeling good. They know you're beaten up by life. You're an ordinary middle-aged man who's killing himself to raise a family. That's good enough. You don't have to now suddenly be a god and an entertainer. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I mean, look, you just said, I thought you were going to say your son was in trouble. Instead, you told me your son's becoming an Eagle Scout. How did that happen?
He worked hard, and he did it.
Yeah, but wait a minute. You must have inspired him for him to want to be an Eagle Scout, right?
Yes, sir.
So what you say to him is this. You know, I once dedicated a book to my son when he was a very little boy. I wrote it this way. I said, to Russ, who both leads and follows the way. Did you ever hear of a quote like that in your whole life?
No.
To my son, Russ, he was like a little kid who both follows and leads the way. No man had ever written that, because I'm an original. That's what you have to think when you look at your son. And you have to say to your son, what is his name, by the way?
His name is Travers. He's standing right here next to me. You want to... tell him?
No, I don't want to talk to him. You say to him, to Travers,
Travers.
Say, Travers, you both follow and lead the way, Travers. Thank you very much for being my son. That's all you have to say. You understand me?